slight deviation from last week, and I want to thank Della for being here last week and for preaching last week. She had a very short time to prepare, the shortest time she's ever had to prepare a sermon. And I want to say thank you, Della, for preaching. She did preach on fathers. I know it was Father's Day, so she picked a very appropriate topic to preach on. And I appreciate Della, and as she continues on her process to become ordained, I hope you support her and encourage her in that process. One day, Della will probably have her own church. Who knows? Maybe it'll be this church. Who knows? You know, because by the time she's ordained, I'll be gone. Mike will be gone. Well, I can't speak for Mike. I'll be gone. Maybe Mike will still be here 5-6 years from now. I don't know. He doesn't know. And this sermon series called We Care, if you remember that there was a debate the first week, as I don't know what to call this series, either the Who Cares sermon series or the We Care sermon series, because every sermon starts with the words, who cares, but it doesn't seem very positive if I called it the Who Cares sermon series. So we are in the We Cares sermon series, but this week we are talking about who cares when I have a sudden loss. Because the fact is, in an instant, your life can change, right? You're having a good day, just going through the day, everything's going well, and then in an instant, your life can turn upside down. Let me give you the definition, the clinical definition, psychiatric definition of what is considered a loss, the loss I'm talking about this morning. And this is what it says the definition is, that a loss is any major reduction in a person's resources, whether personal, material, or symbolic, to which the person was emotionally attached. Because when I give you a sermon title like, who cares when I have a sudden loss, I'm guessing if you're like me, that your mind goes to death. Your mind goes to suddenly losing someone that you love, all right? But I gotta tell you, there are countless forms of sudden loss that I'm gonna be talking about or I'm gonna be relating to this morning. There are all kinds of things that can suddenly change our lives, sometimes forever, and leave us wondering, does anyone really care about my sudden loss? So I wanna begin this morning by giving you some categories of different types of things that I would consider a sudden loss, and maybe evaluate these things a little bit, and they'll help us determine how do we fix these things as we get towards the part of the sermon that talks about how do we take care of these events. So the first sudden loss I want to talk about is a financial loss. You know, you experienced the threat to your security or your self-esteem because of your loss of income. Maybe through downsizing, or what companies call it today. They call it right-sizing. They don't call it downsizing. Or maybe you've experienced a financial loss because of a crime, or because of a fire. Or maybe you've had this problem because of an addiction, like gambling, or some other kind of issue. Or maybe in our culture, maybe it was identity theft, right? But any one of those kinds of losses can happen instantly, very suddenly, and they can change your approach to life in a moment. Another category, a type of sudden loss that people experience, is relationship losses. Now, the most common of these is probably divorce or marital separation, but it can be lots of other things. It can be estrangement from family members, like maybe you're estranged from your brother or your sister or your parents. Or there can be relationship loss through things like foster care or miscarriages. Regardless what it is, you know the pain of a sudden relationship loss in your life. Another category is role losses. For example, you experience such a loss when your children become older, they move out of the house, and suddenly you are facing that dreaded empty nest syndrome. Now, when your children are 12 and 13 and 14, you can't wait for the empty nest syndrome. I know, I've been there, all right? You just can't wait to get them out of the house. However, when you have the feeling of the loss of your role as a parent, That's a very sudden and traumatic loss. I experienced this firsthand in my life. I didn't ask my wife to share this, but I assume she won't mind. But I remember dropping our daughter off at Eastern Nazarene College. Now, Eastern Nazarene College, if you don't know where it is, it's in Quincy. It's a 30-minute ride on maybe a good day. Okay, it's right down the street. Our daughter was going to college for the first time. She's 30 minutes away. She can come home on weekends, anytime she wants to come home. She can come home and do her laundry if she wants to. But I remember dropping her off and then coming home. And when I came home with Linda, Linda walked into Rachel's bedroom and just started bawling. She stood in the middle of her bedroom. I watched her, just stood in the middle of her bedroom crying. Because that was a role loss. She saw her role as a parent radically changing. Her daughter was now off on her own, off to college. This role loss can also come during a job change. Maybe you've always been the boss. You've always told people what to do. And now you've got a new job and you're a subordinate. And now people are telling you what to do. The truth is, many students face this role loss at graduation. That when they graduate, they have this sense the role they were in is completely changed. There are other losses. What about functional losses? Now, when we talk about war, a lot of times we talk about fatalities. But, you know, there are thousands more soldiers in a war that suffer from functional losses, things like amputations or crippling injury or the onset of blindness or deafness. And we have an older congregation. Some of you can relate to this next thing. Functional losses strike the elderly at any age. What do I mean by that? Well, there's something that you could do last week, no problem. And now this week you can't do it. You need help doing it. That's a functional loss. You know, you're beginning to get the magnitude. This concept of sudden loss, it can come to us in many, many, many ways and impact our lives in a very serious manner. What about this one? Losses from major changes to your world. How's this happen? Well, maybe it happened because you moved. Maybe you had a school change. You know, with some people, today it happens through immigration. How do you think the people on Ted and Sheila's home feel, the ones who came from Ukraine, now that they had to be displaced from their country, they had to leave their father and their husband behind, they come to this very uncertain place called America, they move in with this family, although I know this family is a good family, you don't think that that was a sudden loss for them? Of course it was. Of course it was. Something has radically changed in your world that's caused you to lose part of your life. That's what happened to them. I want to go over one more, and that is a category about losses that are hard to define. And what are these? Well, maybe you had a dream that's suddenly been taken away. Or maybe you had a goal that no longer can be realized. Or maybe you lost your childhood because of abuse. Maybe you can't define your loss in some kind of neat package, kind of the way I'm doing it this morning, but you know that you have experienced a loss that has suddenly changed your life. And I gotta tell you this, that regardless of the type of loss you've suffered, these are some of the kinds of sudden losses you can have in your life. You can see it on the screen behind me. That regardless of the kinds of losses you suffered, our response to them typically are kind of the same. Whether it was a financial loss or a role loss or losses that are hard to define, we as humans kind of respond to these in the same way. Let me go over some of the emotions that we will go through when we have one of these sudden losses. Maybe there's guilt. You know, something like, maybe I should not have relocated. Or maybe there's sadness. Something like, I will never be greeted at the door by them again. Or what about anxiety? How am I going to pay the bills now? Or withdrawal? I'm never going to get a hurt again, so I'm just going to isolate myself. Or feeling overwhelmed. I can't deal with this anymore. I can't deal with these changes. Or anger or frustration. How could they do that to me? How could I let them do that to me? Or helplessness. I feel completely out of control. Those are the feelings that sudden loss bring up in all of us. So what do we do about this? Well, I want to look at, as I did, when what happens when chaos comes into our living room, and we looked at the life of King David. I want to look at another biblical character. And this is someone you're familiar with, most of you will be familiar with. And this man not only experienced a single loss, or two losses, or three losses, but he experienced about every kind of sudden loss imaginable in a very short period of time. His name was Job. And the Bible tells us that Job was a righteous man. And for whatever reason, this is not my sermon, but for whatever reason, God allowed Satan to test Job. I'm going to have Beth come up and read for us a few selected verses so we can get a feel of what happened to Job and explore what we may be able to learn from his example. So I'm going to ask Beth come up and read.
This morning's reading is Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all these things, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
Thank you, Beth. Now, I assume that most of you have heard the story of Job before. If you've never heard the story of Job, you get the picture of what he went through. His sudden loss was unimaginable. But let me tell you about Job. Job, his business was doing better than most of his day. And Job had a lovely family. And as an independent businessman and a modern-day entrepreneur, Job was highly respected in his field of work, and he was seen as a pillar of the community. Job attended church regularly. He was an active participant in his church. You get the picture about who Job was? And then in an instant, you see what happens. He loses it all. So what's he do? He goes into a study, falls on his knees, and begins to pray to God, the source of his strength. And as he begins to repeat his prayer to God over and over again, somehow he's believing that God will see him through the day. It says in Job 2, verses 7 through 10, it says, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die.' He replied, 'You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. What can you and I glean from the life of Job? Because the fact is, things like tragedy, heartache, difficult times, and sudden loss, they're all going to come our way. Probably not like they did at Job's life, all at once together, but they're all going to come our way. How do we prepare for them? Because I think you know that even as a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, we are not immune to life's losses. But what I challenge you is this. We're not immune to them, but we can and should find a way to intersect our faith with the tragedies in our life. They should not be separate identities. Our faith should intersect with the tragedies in our life. I said in week one of this series that I don't want to trivialize any one of us with what we've gone through. I don't mean to make trivial any of your life's crises, problems, difficulties. Believe me, that's not what I want to do. I want to have empathy for that and empathy with you. However, at the same time, because of our faith in Christ, our testimony should be something different. Our testimony should be different, how we look as we walk through these tragedies compared to how the world looks. We should look different. We should. I would almost say we must, because of our faith. So, how do we prepare and how do we go through these trials? Well, I'm going to give you a formula this morning. And I got to tell you, if you have a really good memory and you remember the formula that we gave when we talked about David's family and what happens when tragedy comes into your living room, and we talked about the formula, how to handle that, well, this is going to sound a little bit familiar. As I go through, I talk about addiction and talk about loneliness and talk about other topics in the weeks ahead. My formulas for those are going to sound pretty familiar because I'm taking the formula right out of Scripture. This formula I'm taking from the life of Job. Last formula I took from the life of David. But they sound pretty familiar. Well, why wouldn't they be? Because they come from God. So, first thing we must do, and the first thing that Job did, is we must keep our faith in God. In Job 1:20, it says, "At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground in worship." Can you imagine the torment that Job was going through after he just heard what he heard? Now, not being disrespectful to any of you, if you answered yes to that question, you're wrong. There's no way you can imagine the torment that he was going through. He lost everything. Everything. He lost all his livestock, of course, all of his servants, all of his family, his health, everything. Everything that made him wealthy, everything that fulfilled him in life was gone. Now, you may have suffered tragedies in your life, as I have, but not everything gone at one time except the clothes on my back. Well, that's what Job went through. And what was his response? He fell to the ground and worshiped God. Now, please, don't confuse Job falling to the ground and worshiping God is that Job was happy about what was happening, or that he was okay. Because the beginning of this verse says he tore his robe and shaved his head. That is an indication that he was in agony, that he was hurting. I can't imagine how hard it must have been for Job to drop to his knees and to worship God. But that's a good lesson for us. It tells us no matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of problems we're facing, we must never stop praising and loving our Lord. You see, God gets the big picture. You and I do not. God knew what was happening here. God had allowed Satan, we didn't read that part, God had allowed Satan to come in and test Job, because basically Satan said to God, the only reason Job loves you is, look, You've given them a great family. You made them extremely wealthy, very successful. Everyone's healthy. And Satan said, you take that stuff away from him and he won't worship you anymore. And God said, go ahead. Do it. Now, I don't know if Satan understands everything about God. Because if he understood everything about God, one thing he would have known is God knows the future. God knew right away whether Job would be faithful to him or not. God knew the answer to that. Satan's saying he won't be. Well, that's a guess. God knew the facts. Yeah, he's going to be faithful to me. Go ahead. Job is mine. He's going to be mine. So, friends, God has the big picture. We can't know the mind of God. The finite, which is us, cannot totally comprehend the infinite. Now, we can have a glimpse into God, and we do through his word. God gives us a glimpse into who he is. But we can only get a glimpse or a snapshot of who God is. It's like taking a picture at a football game, and you show someone that picture, and it's that one play, that one instant you've captured. But it's impossible for you to, you haven't captured the whole game. What we see in our lives, we see a snapshot. God sees the whole thing. All right? So we must trust God in crises. We must not become devoured by bitterness. We must not place blame on others or on God. We must keep our faith in God. And then as soon as is humanly possible, we must draw ourselves to a place of honest, transparent worship of our loving Heavenly Father. What else did Job do? What else can we learn from Job? Well, in verses 20 and 21, we find out that Job prayed. And it says this, at this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head, then fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job's lost everything. He finds out messenger after messenger after messenger after messenger, everything he has is gone. He gets on his knees and he prays. And do you notice the kind of prayer? Do you see Job saying, please give me my children back. Please give me my animals back. Please give me my servants back. Do you see any of that in this prayer? Of course not. Look at the kind of prayer it is. That's important for us to remember. When you are going through a difficult crisis, if all you want to do is get on your knees and say, God, fix this. Make this better. Make this go away. Is that really the appropriate prayer? Job is recognizing who God is. He's praising God for who he is. He acknowledges that God is the one that is in control. That God gave, God can take away. That's what it is for Job. Sounds kind of uncomplicated, right? God gave and God take away. In other words, God can do that because God is sovereign. And God can do that. Think about getting on his knees to pray. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about David? Does this sound familiar to David? David is running away from Jerusalem because his son is coming with an army to kill him and to wipe out Jerusalem. And he's running as fast as he can to get out of Dodge. And what's he do as he starts to leave Jerusalem? It says he stops and he prays. David did the exact same thing that Job is doing. Now that shouldn't surprise us because that's what godly people do. That's what people who follow God do. That's what we need to do when we find ourselves in the midst of a sudden loss. We need to pray. Many people, their first reaction to tragedy is to isolate themselves. They withdraw. They withdraw from their friends and their family, and they withdraw from God. But at a time of sudden loss, really all the time, but particularly in a time of sudden loss, we need to keep our communication with God open. Next, we must maintain our complete trust in God. It says in verse 22, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." As Job struggled with his pain and his suffering, he never lost his trust in God. He never lost his faith. He never lashed out against God. He didn't shake his fist towards heaven and say, "Why are you doing this, God? I am faithful. I tithe. I go to church. I love you and I serve you. Why did you do this to me?" He didn't do that, did he? He was humble and held very tightly to his faith. And you think this is easy to do? I can tell you, this is not easy to do. And you know why? Because Satan is going to have his little voice in your ear. And you know what he's going to tell you? I know what he's going to tell you. Something very similar to this. He's going to say something like, "You know, if God was really there, and if God really loved you, he would never have let this happen to you." That's the kind of thing he's going to whisper in your ear. And it gets very easy to lash out at God at times like that. I've seen it with person after person after person who get angry and lash out at God when some sudden loss comes into their life. The first thing they do is blame God. I've seen it personally. And then when they're done blaming God, they start blaming other people. You don't see Job doing any of that. He doesn't blame other people. He doesn't blame God. He said, "God is sovereign. God, just like God gave me, God can take away. And I just need to learn to accept it. God, help me." Okay, what else do we need to learn from Job? Here's an interesting one. We must be aware in these times of bad advice. Verses 7 through 10 say this. "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die.' He replied, 'You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?' And all this Job did not sin." Job got some really bad advice. And of all people, it came from his wife. She looked at him scraping his sores and the pus out of his sores, languishing in filth, and she lashes out at her husband and says pretty much this: "Do you still believe in that God of yours? You're an idiot." I'm paraphrasing what she said, but that's what she said. "You just need to curse that God and die." I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question because I know the answer. The question is, have you ever received bad advice? And I can tell you, looking around at the age of all of us here, the answer is yes. We all have received bad advice before. And sometimes the advice we get can get us into more trouble than the trouble we're already in. Let me ask you a different question. Have you ever received bad spiritual advice before? Now, I'm not just talking about the typical sources of bad advice. For example, you need to be careful about getting your spiritual advice from the TV, like Dr. Phil, or Oprah, or from the internet, or from books, or even people who are really close to us. They can have some pretty stupid advice. Job learned that lesson, didn't he? Bad advice can come from a very close friend or family member. If you read the story of Job, you'll see that Job got bad advice, not only from his wife, but from his friends. He got bad advice everywhere. In fact, he never got any good advice, at least earthly good advice, in his story. You know, bad advice can come from a respected Christian, even from a Christian pastor. You know why? Because people are fallen, people are fallible, and sometimes we are not very wise. So how do you sort this out? Well, when you're going through a difficult time and people start throwing advice in your direction, how to get out of it, ask yourself, does this advice sound like it comes from God? Does this advice sound biblical? And if it doesn't sound like it's from God, well, I can tell you it probably is not. Even if the other person tells you it is. In fact, there's one thing, if you ever come up to me, if you want to make me skeptical immediately when you come up and ask me a question or you want to tell me something, just come up to me and tell me this. Gene, God told me to tell you. Fill in the blank. Instantly, when you say that, you kind of lost me. Because instantly, I'm skeptical right from the beginning. Like, okay, right. Well, why wouldn't God tell me? Why is he having you tell me? You know, and 99% of the time, it's because you have an agenda that you want me to follow, and therefore you want me to think that God told you this, and God had nothing to do with it. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. We need to be discerning and careful about accepting spiritual advice. All right, one more thing we must do when we find ourselves experiencing a sudden loss, and that is we must wait upon the Lord. Job 38, as we get towards the end of the story, verses 4 through 11, say this. I love this. This is God talking. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? Or on what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, this is for you, this far you may not come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. That's God's response. We can't read the 38 chapters leading up to this, but I love this. When you think you're going to tell God something, or you think you have the answers, or you think you know better than God, think about that question from God. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. There's no response. You just sit there with your mouth open, think, okay, I think I may be asking the wrong person or challenging the wrong person here. You know, of course, God laid the foundations of the earth. God poured out the seas. God set the clouds in place. He is God. He's always been in control and always will be in control. Always. That's when we say God is sovereign, that's what we mean. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whoever he wants, and I'm going to say we can't question it. Now, I know that God gave us free will. I know that we have the ability to question it, but we shouldn't. Let me tell you a story, true story, told by rangers at Yellowstone National Park. They said that after a firestorm at Yellowstone, they went and they began to trek up the mountain to assess the damage of what had happened. And one ranger said he found a bird, literally, he says, petrified in the ashes. And it was perched statuesquely, he said, on the ground at the base of a tree. Well, he said he was a little startled by the sight of this bird, so he took a stick and he knocked the bird over with a stick. He said when he struck the bird, three little chicks scurried out from under their mother's wing. They said, well, the mother must have been keenly aware of the impending disaster, had carried her offspring off to the base of the tree and gathered them under her wings. Now, she could have flown away to safety, but she refused to abandon her babies. And when the blaze arrived and the heat had scorched her small body, the mother remained steadfast where she was. She had been willing to die so that those under the cover of her wings may possibly live. Friends, I can't understand all the sudden losses. I have difficulty understanding sudden losses in my life. I would have much more difficulty understanding the sudden losses in your life. But I know this. This is what I know. That Jesus will not leave us. Jesus will not forsake us. No matter how bad things may seem, he still will be with us. In fact, you know the story. He loved us so much. He was willing to take upon himself the suffering and death that you and I really deserve. Job, now Jesus hadn't come yet when Job was going through his thing, but he understood God. And he understood God loved him. And he understood that God would not do anything intentionally just to hurt him. He didn't get the big picture, of course, because he couldn't see the big picture. But Job understood this. We are after Jesus. So we have a little more information than Job. Jesus was willing to go to the cross, willing to give up his own life, so that you and I would never have to experience death and separation from God. And he did it all on the heels of a sudden loss. Do you remember that? Remember when the closest of Jesus' friends, Judas, talk about a relational loss, and it got even worse. Listen to these words from Mark 14. They say this, that as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with the sword and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. Jesus had all kinds of relational loss going on here. And on the heels of this relational loss, Jesus went to the cross to die for us. Friends, what do you do when you have a sudden loss? You must keep your faith in God. You must pray. You must maintain your trust in God. You must be aware of bad advice, and you must wait upon the Lord. That was Job's formula for overcoming unbelievable loss in his life. Now, if you don't know the end of Job's story, Job has a happy ending. You can read it for yourself, but let me tell you, everything works out just good, just great for Job, okay? But in the moment, of course, he didn't know that, in the moment when he was going through this. So chances are, sometime in your life, if you haven't already had them, you will have a sudden loss. And when you have that sudden loss, remember the story of Job and how he handled it. Because he handled it in a scripturally biblical manner that God was pleased with. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for today's lesson. I thank you for Job's life and the lessons that he can teach us, God, about going through difficult times and remaining faithful to you. And I pray, God, as a local church, that we would care when people face sudden losses, that we would love them, God, and we would do our very best to help them get through it, God, and that we would be an encouragement to them, and that we would give good advice. Help us, God, not give bad advice. Help us to give advice that's in line with your word, God, every time. So again, thank you, God, for your word today. May you hide it in our hearts, Father, so we may not sin against you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.